Let us now turn for our scripture reading, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 21. The Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 21, we read from the verse 28 through to the verse 32. This is the word of God. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to grant his own blessing upon that public reading of his precious, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. Congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words which were read to you in your hearing from the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 21, the verse 28 to the verse 32. The Lord be pleased to grant his gracious enabling to enable to minister his word this evening for his glory and to the profit of our never-dying souls. Let me read again just those verses. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first, and so on. Well, we come to this portion of God's holy word, and the immediate context, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ addressing the Jews, and you notice in the verse 23, there are the chief priests and the elders. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority dost thou these things? So these words are spoken in the ear of these religious leaders and of course other Jews around them. And he addresses things concerning the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these Jewish leaders who did not do the will of God. And what the Lord Jesus Christ does in order to address them, he speaks this parable in their ears, and it concerns two sons of the same household. Two sons whose father had a vineyard. And of course, the father here represents God Almighty, God who is to be obeyed. And there are two sons. The first son, at first, very abruptly, seems to speak to the father with absolutely no respect at all. You notice the language there. He says, I will not. What kind of a son would speak to his father that way? Not even an excuse, but just blatantly says, I will not. And then the other son, full of respect, he even calls him, Sir. My, if we only had such people as this second son. But he proves to be really a farce. He proves to be somebody who's just words, a pretense. And this is precisely what the Jews were like, full of pretense. Now, God's will is very important. This is the whole subject here. The Lord Jesus Christ asked the question. Verse 31, whither of them twain or the two did the will of the Father? The will of the Father is absolutely crucial, as we'll consider tonight, because it is a matter of salvation. Those that do the will of God shall abide forever. And we must examine our hearts here tonight, all of us, those we claim to be saved by the grace of God. We claim to be quickened and have new hearts and born again. Do we do the will of God? Or perhaps those here tonight, you may think you're a Christian. You are perhaps somebody who's been brought up in a Christian home. Or maybe you have attended a place of worship really all of your life. And maybe you think just with your church attendance that you are somebody that does the will of God. Well, the Jews thought that way, certainly the Pharisees, the religious leaders. But there was no true saving work in them. There was no repentance. And the Lord Jesus Christ compares these religious leaders to the most vile people of his day, harlots and publicans. I suppose that's the most extreme, if you were to compare people today, the most extreme sinners. And these, he says, enter into the kingdom before these. These people are saved. They have repented. And so this is the concern. And it's always going to be the case, as I'll show you now. It always has been. Within the professing church, there are those that are wheat and there are those that are tares. There are those who are saved and who are unsaved. There are those who are sheep and there are those that are goats. Now, God never makes sheep out of goats. He saves the sheep. He calls them. He draws them to himself. They've always been sheep. They were once stray sheep. But they come into the fold. They hear the word of God and they are convicted of their sin and they repent and they follow him. So let's just say, for instance, let's look at Matthew chapter 13, where he speaks a parable, the parable of the kingdom of heaven, which is like a man who sows good seed in the field. Matthew 13, the verse 24, we'll read there. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, would thou then that we go and gather them up? That's the tares. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now the wheat and the tares, some of these are very difficult to tell apart. And the Lord is saying, this is not the business of us as people to distinguish who are the Lord's and the Lord's who are not the Lord's. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and we have to be very careful, and we need to examine our own hearts, whether we are the Lord's. The Lord knows alone. But in the church, the parable is saying that within the visible church, within the professing church, there will be those who are the Lord's, the wheat, and there are those who are the tares. There are the sheep and the goats. Of course, the goats are mere professors, like these religious leaders. There is again Matthew chapter 13, the verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so there again is another parable that even in the visible church, those that have even perhaps become church members and been baptized, we know not really who are the Lord's. At the end of it all, the Lord will divide the sheep and the goats. There will be a severing of the two. And so here the Lord is coming back to this parable of the two sons. He is dealing with this issue of those like the Jews, particularly here, and this is the immediate context of this parable. It is spoken with regards to the religious leaders of his day, those who thought they were in the kingdom, but they were not the doers of the word of God. And so we want to look at these two sons this evening. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go to work today in my vineyard." And the son immediately replies, "I will not." Now here is, I suppose, typified those who are truly the Lord's. This is us by nature. By nature, we say to God, "I will not." We come into this world saying, "I will not. I will not obey. I will not submit to this one who is over me. I will not submit to the Lord Jesus." And friends, you know, none of us come into this world in a state of salvation. None of us come as doers of God's word. The carnal mind is enmity with God, it's neither subject to his law, neither indeed can it be. This is how we're born. We're born in a state of sin and rejection to God. If we are Christians here tonight, this is what our natural condition is in sin. We come forth saying, "I will not." We kick against God's word. We live a life of going our own way, but then the Lord saves us. And we mustn't think that this son here, all of a sudden by himself, starts to repent. Remember, we're reading a parable here where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, as we read at the end of this discourse that he gives, the Lord Jesus speaks about that baptism and how John went preaching a baptism of repentance. Remember the voice in the wilderness, as we read in Isaiah, that cries. John the Baptist was crying out that men, women, and children, boys and girls should repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that he was proclaiming certainly one that would come after him, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose sandals straps he was unworthy to untie. He was speaking of the one whom they need to look to and to be saved. So John was preaching about repentance. And many of the Gentiles, like these harlots here and these publicans, many of them were turning because they were brought to that place of repentance. That's what repentance is. It's confessing your sin and turning from your sin, confessing it to God. And then afterward, it says he went. So that's the first man. And that pictures, by and large, the Gentile believers and also some of the Jews that had repented and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second son, as I said, pictures here those Jews who were self-righteous. And he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir." You see, full of respect, or at least outward respect for the Father. And many are like that, with their church going and their religiosity. Oh yes, but there is no heart obedience to the Lord. And the Lord asks the question in the verse 31, "Whither of them twain, of the two of them, did the will of the Father?" So the Lord Jesus Christ, through this parable, communicates these two contrasts between those who, at first, by nature, we do not do the will of God. But there are those who are born, as it were, and pretend to be obedient, but are never obedient to God in their lives. And this pictures here the Jew and, should we say, the nominal Christian. We speak about nominal Christianity. Simply those who are churchgoers. And there are a lot of people like that. As I said this morning, you know, their Christianity consists of that. One day a week, on a morning, maybe just that, or maybe morning and evening. And they think that they're in the kingdom. They think that they're God's people. And the Pharisees were like that. Although they were very meticulous concerning the law, they only did things in the law for themselves. That's the point. When we think about the Pharisees' life, he thought he was justified by the keeping of the law. So he only did as much as he had to do. He tithed only up to the point. And he only did things up to the point that he had to. It was all legalistic. It was a superficial, surface religion. And so many people just have that. That's all they have. And that's a question to ask tonight. Do you have true saving religion? Or do you have a superficial religion? You know, these Pharisees, they prayed. But they only, as the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out in Matthew 6, they didn't go into their closets, into their quiet places at home and pray to God. They prayed publicly on the street corners and before all men. That's their prayer life. That's what it consisted of. Oh, they fasted, or at least they pretended to, as they ashened their faces. They gave their alms before men. And the Lord Jesus said, well, they have their reward. That's how they served. They prayed, but not in private. They made a show of their religion. They gave alms. They ashened their faces before men. But God knows their bellies were full while they were pretending to fast. It was all a charade. They prayed prayers such as this. I thank God. I'm not as other men. I do this and I do that. That is all their religion consisted of. It was to their own ends. It was not because they loved God. It was not because they loved God. It was not because they loved fellow men. They brought fellow men under great loads that were not given in the Word of God. They put on men other commandments which were not in the Word of God. And so the Lord Jesus in Matthew 23 speaks to them. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! And that's the hypocrite who says, I'll go and do something, but I don't do it. That's the second son here. Oh, I'll do it. Be very quick to do it. But he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done. Those weightier matters of the law concern the heart, heart's devotion. When we think of these weighty matters, mercy, faith, obedience to God, they omitted those. But they were concerned with the nitty gnats. The Lord Jesus said they strained at gnats, but they swallowed camels. That's how some people are. They are meticulous about certain things, but there's no heart religion before the Lord. There's no heart devotion. There was a time also when they thought they were missing out. Remember at the baptism of our Lord Jesus, when John the Baptist was baptizing many of the Gentiles and many in Judea, many of the Jews too. That baptism of repentance. Matthew 3, the verse 7, we read, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. But then he went on to say, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And he says, therefore, bring forth fruit meet or worthy of repentance. They had not repented of their sins. They were still living this very surface religion of an outward show, no true devotion to God. They said that they were doers of the word of God, but they were breakers of God's law. But the humble, the poor, those who were made poor in spirit by God, they repented, they turned. These publicans and these harlots turned away from godless, filthy, worldly living, prostitutes having changed, men who would be thieving through fictitious tax collecting or extortionate tax collecting, repented. Men like Zacchaeus had turned from that way of life to serve the living God, but not these men. They took money from others, and they were saying to young men, say to your parents, this is Korban. This money is for God. But while they were doing that, they were planning on lining their own pockets with that money. So this first son here, as I said, represents all who sin and who truly repent. And again, this is how we come into this world. Now, we read here that this man, he has a vineyard. We mustn't think that this is a rather small and paltry vineyard. It's a large vineyard because it's representing God. And the vineyard, as it were, is, we could say, the world. Every day God calls us, does he not, to rise up and to glorify him in our lives. And we are to go and we are to live to the glory of God in our lives. And what is the first and the chief commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's the first and the great commandment, says the Lord Jesus. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we have failed in that, but when God converts our hearts, we begin to live for him. Somewhere else in the Word of God, we read what is required of man, Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God. To fear the Lord is to hold him in high regard, to love him, to honor him. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him. To serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good, says Moses. So that is what's required of us, to give our lives to God and to start to live for him. Now, what is the son's initial response here? He said, I will not. Again, here we must understand that this is a good reminder, and this perhaps would have annoyed the Jews, that these Gentiles that have lived this godless life for all these years have been saying, I'll not serve God. But now all of a sudden there's a change in their lives. But now they're accepted. They come into the kingdom, as the Lord Jesus says. You know, we mustn't think that salvation is by somehow us doing certain things in our lives and we somehow reach a certain point and then all of a sudden we become saved because we've attained to some level of holiness. No, there's been disobedience in the life of the first son, but now there is obedience. Why? Because there's a repenting. And you see, what comes before obedience is a repenting, a turning, a confessing of our sins, an acknowledgement before God that we have sinned and that we are worthy of his wrath, that we are unclean. That is what's necessary. And then there is a turning. And then he goes, and the father sees him go and says, well, this son is pleasing to the father. And he's not filled with hypocrisy like the other sons. I will go. Well, he stated his desire of his heart. I will not go. That's not right, though, is it? You should never speak to God that way. I will not. And that's sin, isn't it? We need to confess our past, that we have lived our own way. As I said earlier, God doesn't make sheep out of goats, but he calls his sheep. Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:25. He says this to Christians, for ye were as sheep going astray. That's who you were. You were as sheep going astray. When Isaiah says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. He's speaking there of Christians. God's sheep, we were going astray. But Peter says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. If we have been converted, if we've been saved, if God has humbled us, we have returned to the overseer. That's the word bishop, episcopus, the one who oversees our soul. We've returned unto him. And we no longer go our own way, our own crass individual way of life, but we go his way. This is what it is to be a Christian. Obedience is the mark, surely, isn't it, of a Christian. The Lord Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say? We have no right to say that the Lord is our Lord, and we don't do as he says in our lives. If we are his, the Lord Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. Now, you notice the second man. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. Well, what astounding and respectful words. And, you know, so many people appear to be respectful. Respectful churchgoers, it's easy to put on a pretense. We'd say, at first, this son here, well, he seems to be full of obedience. Well, dear friends, God, he watches the life rather than the lips. There are many, as the Lord says elsewhere, that draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They don't do the will of God. They're not doers of the word of God. Again, Matthew 8. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That was his attitude, full of desire. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. Now that man, as we read elsewhere, was a scribe. And the scribes thought that the Lord Jesus would be some earthly Messiah. Oh, I'll follow you so long as there's going to be great reward. That's really what he's saying. And there are so many like that. They'll follow the Lord Jesus. They seem to be full of gusto, but not obedient. Another man says, Yes, I'll follow you, but suffer me first to go and bury my father. And the Lord Jesus says, Let the dead bury the dead. If I'm your Lord, I come first. I'm first and foremost. And so here the idea of this second man here representing the nominal Christian or the Pharisee or the religious Jew, the zealot. Well, he first says, yes, I'll serve, but he doesn't. Now, why is this so important? Well, firstly, God is not to be mocked, is he? What we say, what we profess that we are is very important. We profess to be the Lord's people. Remember, we are claiming to be his and we represent him in this world. And it is very important that we make right representation of him and that we obey him. If we are the Lord's, we should obey him. And doing the will of God is everything. As I intimated at the beginning of the sermon, those that do the will of God shall abide forever. Let me just give you three texts. Matthew 12, the verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, says the Lord Jesus, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. In other words, you're not in the family of God if you are not somebody who is a doer of the word of God. Again, in Matthew 24, 46, blessed is that servant who his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Again, we're not saved by our doing, but it's a matter of the heart, isn't it? Now, this is true of the Christian. You can even go back to this first son. There will be times in his life, although he's converted and though he's turned, there will be times that he fails as a Christian. And he knows it all too well, but he turns and he continues to repent. You see, it's an ongoing life of repentance. If you look at the general tenor of his life or her life, there will be one of turning and repenting and obeying the Lord. This is not somebody who lives a perfect life, but somebody that has begun to repent truly of their sins and to live for God, but not the one who has a superficial form of religion or Christianity. Theirs is a continued one of pretense. Again, another text, Revelation 22, 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You see, those who, as it were, must impress this upon you again, this is not a works religion, but those who have truly been humbled, those that have truly seen that they are, as the Gentiles were, as publicans and harlots and the worst of this world, who know themselves, because we know our own hearts, to be great sinners, now count it a great honor to serve God. And because of that, they do the will of God, not perfectly, but they desire more and more to do his commandments. They hunger and they thirst after righteousness. They pour in spirit. They say, as in Matthew 25, Lord, when did we do these things for you? When he's dividing the sheep and the goats, when did we? He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. See, they don't see themselves to be deserving. They see themselves to be those that haven't obeyed God's commandments perfectly as they ought. But they do his commandments nonetheless. As you look at their lives, there is a general tenor of obedience. Their great trouble in their life is that they don't do the commandments of God as they ought. But that doesn't trouble the Pharisee or the nominal Christian who's just a mere attender at church, and he lives at a sort of an arm's distance from God and from God's people. No, there is an ongoing turning in his life. He doesn't do as he ought, but he does turn and he does repent. And in Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. And so it is, you see, when one is born again, when one comes and returns as a stray sheep unto the Lord, they're under the great bishop of their souls, as Peter says. They return unto him and they obey him and they start to follow him. That's the sense. That's the will of God. Because that's the question asked here. Which one does the will of God? The one who turns. And you see, this is what it is a Christian. To turn from our own ways. And to serve the living God. Not ourselves. Not to try to think that we'll be saved by, like these religious Jews were, by our attendance and by certain religious things that we do. Those things don't save us. What saves us is the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And when we realize that, we are most wonderfully humbled that we feel in our hearts that we can do nothing else but serve him. That's now our desire. We want to serve him who has given his all for us. That's what a Christian is. But these religious zealots thought they were okay by their prayers, but their hearts were far from God. As God's word prophesied concerning them in Isaiah 29, verse 13, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They have an outward form of fear to God. There's no true fear and reverence to God. It's all sort of pious, made-up religion, but no honest concern for the soul before God. And God judges the hearts of us. He knows here tonight who are truly his. He knows who merely have an empty profession. We can easily be deceived. We can deceive ourselves. These were the blind leading the blind. We can deceive others. And remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:20 concerning these Pharisees and these religious leaders. He said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. If you just have an outward form of Christianity where there's not true heart devotion to God and love to God, worked out in a life of principled obedience to God, he says, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, from this parable, it's speaking about doing the will of God. Again, it's not work salvation, but it's a salvation that moves our hearts to bear fruit unto God, to honor God. I wonder if we have that here tonight. It's the great question, is it? And the hymn sometimes sing, the humble poor he'll not despise, nor on the contrite sinner frown. His ear is open to their cries and quickly sends salvation down. Think of some of these harlots, these women that have spent their lives doing the most horrible and obscene things, yet now entered into the kingdom of heaven. This was disgusting, some of these Jewish leaders. But friend, do you realize that you and I are as deserving of the fires of hell as those women and those cheating tax collectors were? Until we realize that, we have no part in God's kingdom. Until we realize that there is nothing we can bring in our hands to present ourselves before a holy God. Until we realize that, and thank the Lord how gracious He is that He should allow this first son to go and serve into the vineyard. That's a privilege if we're a Christian. To serve in this world, it's an honor, it's a joy to be able to serve such a gracious Lord. See this gracious Father, how kind He is to this first son who says, I will not. And yet He converts his heart and then he goes to serve the living God. Now him, blessed are the humble souls that see their emptiness and poverty. Treasures of grace to them are given, and crowns of joy laid up in heaven. Blessed are the men of broken heart, who mourn for sin with inward smart. The blood of Christ divinely flows, a healing balm for all their woes. Let me ask you tonight, are you offended by the Lord Jesus Christ? What he has to say? Imagine some of these religious leaders here, as they hear these words concerning these publicans and tax collectors, and as he speaks concerning them, whither of them twain did the will of the Father, of his Father? They say unto him, the first. So they answered right. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. I wonder if you're offended by the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ does not accept your mere superficial form of Christianity. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that are not offended because of me. You see, we have a tendency to take pride in outward forms of religion. There's nothing to take pride in that. But we need to understand that God searcheth the hearts. He knows every man. He knows why we do things. Whether we do things for Him because we love Him or for ourselves. These people did it for their own justification. For their own self-righteous ends. To be seen of men and to have the praise of men. But what will it profit you? If that's all you have, when on the final day you stand before Almighty God and He says to them as well as to you, you didn't do this for me. You did all these things for yourself, to comfort yourself, that you could somehow earn a righteousness before me, when I have told you time and time again in the Gospels that there is none that are righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. My dear friends, that is how a sinner is accepted before God. That's how a sinner was accepted before God when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words. And that is still how a sinner is accepted before God this night. Through the shed blood of His dear Son. The Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. They come to me. And when they come, they truly repent. And they start to serve him. To him who gave his own life as a ransom for them. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to live in this way. It's the pride of man to think that our mere attendance to the house of God and a few pious sort of religious things that we might do will justify us in the eyes of a holy God. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves right before God, but only Christ. Only Christ can wash away our sins. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can take away our sins. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, like some of these said, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. and we will go into an everlasting perdition, away into a place called hell, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And those of us who are Christians tonight, let us examine our own hearts. Are we doers of God's word? Of course, not perfectly. And when we haven't done what we are supposed to do, do we repent? And with renewed vigor, seek to serve the living God, who we claim has saved us, washed us in his own blood? Do we seek with all of our heart to serve him? Well, may God help us to this end and give us all grace. Amen. As I close, think of these publicans and harlots and people that have lived the most vile lives. As we sung there, the Lord will not turn such away. Those that truly repent, confess their sins and look to the Lord. The Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none other. Salvation is the free gift of God, which he gives through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and we do praise thee that thy dear Son does not indeed only save, but he saves a people that they might be a holy people, that they turn and they bear fruit worthy or meet for repentance. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou might humble souls in this place here tonight. Oh Lord, do that work in our hearts tonight. Do a work for eternity, we pray. Do a work for the glory of thy name and to the praise of the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for such sinners. May we go to our homes tonight repenting and putting our trust in the Lord Jesus. We pray, gracious God, be merciful to us. Be merciful to us all. We acknowledge that none of us have lived the way we ought to have. None of us have been the way we should. We pray for grace to love thee more. We pray for hearts to serve thee better. Help us, pardon us of our sins. Give us all grace. May we look to thee as the great supplier of all of our needs this coming week. O Lord, we pray these things, and we ask that thou would be glorified in our feeble lives. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, we ask these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.